It's 6:10, and we begin the morning on Election Day with the obvious call to vote. Number to call is 312-981-7200 if you want to be the first caller. I have prizes to give away, but you must tell me that you are committed to vote today.
Absolutely.
You don't have to tell me who you're voting for.
Yeah.
Not Trump. As long as you are voting today at 312-981-7200 and you're the first caller, you can win the prize.
And tell us if your polling place is crowded too, because they're expecting long lines early on.
Well, here's what we know, right? Before work, after work, and lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make sure you're in line, go then. Normally in primary time, there's more volunteers than there are voters whenever you walk in. It won't be that way today. As a matter of fact, I would expect in most places a steady stream all day long.
Mm-hmm. I would think so, too.
I got to get the car in. The ice blue Impala's got to go in for its regular checkup.
The Iceman.
Thank you. And so I've got to get that in. But right after that, I'm going in. So I think I'm right in a sweet spot. I'm looking at voting like 1:45, 2 o'clock. Should be golden.
You should be perfect. Because right before the afternoon and evening rush.
Right. So I'm going to get in line and vote, and then I've got 3 wardrobe changes in the car so I could vote 3 other times.
It's not Chicago.
It's the burbs.
It's the burbs.
Yeah. Andrea was able to secure Hillary Clinton today. Nice job by you. And
she's going to be on.
Secretary Clinton will be on at 8:20 this morning. And and obviously looking forward to talking to her. Eric Edelstein in studio. Pat Brady on the phone. Tasha Karecki, formerly of the Sun-Times, now of Politico, will be on this morning. So we got the election covered for you. In the 9 o'clock hour, we'll take a little breather from it. We'll check in with Kevin in Arizona, with Orion Samuelson in Washington, and with David Hochberg in my face, all in the 9 o'clock hour, as Hochberg tries to talk some sense into all of us about whether or not we're going to refi or do our mortgages. Got a great kid of the week this week, and Nick coming up in a few minutes. But again, the primary objective for you is to vote. You must vote today. I'm, again, asking you to be a part of the process not just someone who sits on the sideline and complains.
Mm-hmm. And even if you don't know, even my neighbor last night said, I still don't know. You have time. You have till 7 o'clock tonight to think about it, but you're absolutely right. You need to vote.
7 o'clock closes.
7 o'clock
closes. So you have until time to commute.
Exactly.
And time to walk in. Because invariably, people will procrastinate and life will get in the way.
Yeah.
This is important. This is really important. If you don't know and you're wondering who I'm supporting Kasich.
There you go.
Today.
Okay.
If you think that tells you that I'm a registered right-wing nut job, you couldn't be further from the truth. It's just, I think it's an important vote, and it's important in that regard, and he's the lone grown-up in the room. But I was talking to a friend of mine last night about this, and I thought about choking him when I was talking to him because of a couple of things he was saying. But, you know, that's what happens when you talk politics with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the field is remarkably weak, remarkably weak. And one of the people that's really benefited from all the loudness about Trump is Ted Cruz, because Cruz has flown under the radar. And Cruz is polarizing as anybody that has ever run for the White House. When nobody in your college class liked you, when nobody in your current company, in his case, the United States Senate, likes you, that's not a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. You know, somebody that goes, oh, Ted's coming. Don't tell him about the party. Oh, Ted's coming. Oh, I've already had lunch. You know, that type of thing. People that don't even want to have conversations with you. That's not good. So one of the points I'll bring up to Hillary Clinton today is because she has absolutely been a target for Republicans for years. However, we need a president that can work with Republicans if you are going to be the Democrat. We need a president who can work with the Democrats if you are a Republican. So in her case, how is she going to break that wall down?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so key. We need a president who will work here with us here and our allies abroad, because terrorism is, unfortunately, this has become such a polarizing election and so much rhetoric and so much mudslinging. We've forgotten really a lot of the problems facing our country.
We got two big stories overseas this morning. Vladimir Putin has pulled out starting today from Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he do that, and why would he do it now? Well, only Boris Badenov knows for sure, but because there has been visible and repeated damage to civilian life there at the hands of Russian military aircraft, and the cost, the actual hard cost of continuing to fight this war, has gotten out of hand. Russia can't afford a loss. And Russia may now believe that President Assad is back in control of the limited territory he has in Syria. That seems to be the explanation. The other big story is a car bomb that went off in Berlin about 8 o'clock local time there, which local authorities are already claiming was a terrorist act, a bomb that blew up this car. Early reports are one dead. There's probably more.
Yeah.
So they're looking into that
Several dozen injured, they're saying at this point. But
right in the middle of rush hour.
Yep.
Car right in the middle of traffic. And one of the things we know has happened overseas is these motorcycles will fly by with a magnetic bomb. It's like a bad scene out of a James Bond movie. And the motorcycle will pull up next to your car in traffic, reach down, and attach a bomb to the side of your car.
Yeah. It does sound like something out of a movie, but it's real life.
It's 6:16, so that's where we are. Did we get a first caller? Do we have a first caller? Because I planned on talking to the first caller. Here's Ross Cochran with an update on the first caller.
Stacy from Cherry, you were the first caller, but then you hung up on me. Call me back.
All right, Stacy, you can't just call in and get the accolade. You have to wait online till we can give you get your address to get the prizes. Rossi, told you you had to be psychic. It's 6:17. Let's get traffic. Mary's here with it on WGN. Is that Nick? Why is Nick upset? Is Nick upset? Why is Nick crying? We had a button in the wrong place is what that was.
Okay. I was like, I saw Nick earlier. He didn't seem that upset.
Seemed hard to you?
Maybe he had to wait in line at his polling place.
6:21. Good morning, Nick. How are you? Thanks for coming around. I you sounded sad there for a moment.
Yeah, you know that, hey, you want to lay on a mattress? That's how I got my first ex-wife.
You know, first ex-wife meaning she worked at the mattress store or the guy at the mattress store said that to her?
No, I said it to her in an alley.
I see. All right. Well, that is a smooth line. That is very
smooth. Yeah, and then she divorced me. I just remind you, she divorced me because she came home for the second time and caught me watching Waterworld. Just wanted to clear that up.
Yeah, and really no woman would argue with that choice by her, but I'm on your side. You know that.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, happy belated birthday, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Now, you know who you share a birthday with, right?
Well, there's several, but of course the biggest would be Adrian Zemed, former co-star of T.J. Hooker. After Adrian Zemed would be, you know, lesser knowns like Rick Dees.
That's who I was going for.
Billy Crystal and Albert Einstein. Now, the only difference between Einstein and me is he had better hair.
He had a lot of hair.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But that's a partial list.
Rick Dees, I believe, is my favorite of the ones that, I can't tell you how
good
many
morning, Southern California.
I can't tell you the number of times just this morning I've listened to Disco Duck.
Disco Duck is a classic. It's one of the greats. Yep. Disco Duck. You know what they say about Disco Duck? They say Disco Duck is the Shakespeare of 70s lyrics.
Well, in all seriousness, happy birthday. Now, if you were born 2 days later, meaning if you were born on March 16th.
Yes.
Because I can do math.
I noticed that.
You would be born on the same day as Mr. Jerry Lewis.
Oh, I didn't know that. No.
And well, he turns 90 tomorrow.
Is that right? Now, what's the state of his health? Obviously, he's 90, but what's the state of his health? Do we know?
You know, it's crazy because there are times when you look at the guy and you think he's on his deathbed, and I'm talking 20 years ago.
Yep.
And then, you know, and then, like, he comes out, he's doing push-ups and running around like a lunatic. It's at this point, he's doing fine. He's been making appearances. You know, and people are interviewing him and stuff, and they're going to have a big 90th birthday celebration on Turner Classic Movie, and they're doing all kinds of things. He's been interviewed. Now, he's completely, of course, lost his mind.
The one thing that most people want to do in the entertainment news business is interview Jerry Lewis at one point or another, because he's going to say something that's going to make you famous.
Well, it was so funny. They did the Museum of Modern History. Museum of Modern Art in New York. Brought in a bunch of his films to be added to the exhibit, and they had Martin Scorsese interview Jerry Lewis, and this was maybe 6 months ago, and Martin Scorsese directed him in King of Comedy, and you know Jerry Lewis is in of course in my opinion and many people's opinion one of the greatest American filmmakers of all time, and an innovator like the reason why people and it's on set right now mm-hmm. and have video playback. Video
That's
playback,
Jerry
Lewis. He invented that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
He invented it. Yep. So Scorsese is interviewing him, talking about, you know, his films and the great movies and things like that. And so he's like, well, how do you feel about the state of movies today? And he's like, it's really good because you bang a lot of broads.
That's the kind of thing that right in the middle of an interview you're going to get from Jerry. Jerry, be two or three really thought out answers, great historical references, great anecdotes, and then you're going to bang a lot of broads. That's going to be in the middle somewhere.
That's exactly right, man. It's just that every time that guy opens his mouth, you know something's going to happen. So anyway, but yeah, I'm actually going to do a tribute to him on the show tomorrow. We're going to play some clips and talk about his stuff.
90.
He's really 90 years old tomorrow. 90.
By the way, are you a binge watcher of television when new shows roll out, Netflix-y stuff?
I have done a few of those. Yeah, now, I'm not as addicted to the binge watching as most people are. But I have binge watched. The last thing that I binge watched was on Netflix, and it was this terrific show that Judd Apatow created called Love with Gillian Jacobs from Community. And that was a tremendous show, and like so much better than what Judd Apatow has been doing movie wise for the past 7 years.
Yeah,
are you binge watching stuff?
Well, House of Cards, but not binge watching. I watch an episode every couple of days. I'm now on episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I got interrupted twice, but episode 7, I get interrupted by like real life stuff, like this stupid election we're actually having. But on episode 7, it continues to twist and turn. See, I can't talk about any of it because none of you have kept up.
I know that that's a favorite of the morning show because whenever I come down and hang out with you guys or do the show or sit in for you, these guys are always talking about it. Dave is always talking about it.
I'm catching up, though. I've got one episode left in season 3.
That's not catching up, Dave. That's not catching up.
Well, based on where I was,
no, Dave,
yes. Why did I catch up on Homeland first?
Let me tell you something,
and then Billions.
Based on where you are, you need a House of Cards tutor to come to you and actually work with you.
Like the Cliff Notes.
You know, I'm just catching up on Bonanza, so
right. But I would advise you to watch House of Cards with this caveat, and that is, there is nothing on House of Cards that will shock you, because you've seen it all in various ways so far, short of the fantasy sequences and a lot of sex. But there is nothing on House of Cards that you would go, well, that couldn't happen.
Yeah, I watched the first season, and enjoyed it very much. I'm just not caught up. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Dave's doing fine. He's on season 3.
But one episode left, so I can watch season 4 now.
You want me to tell you what's on the end of season 3 so you can get on with it?
I think I have an idea how it's trending.
Yeah.
There has to be some tension in the marriage.
Yeah, and that sets up season 4.
Yeah.
And if you like Robin Wright Penn, Frisian Blasen, Farfik Nugent, or whatever
Wright.
Her name is now.
Yeah.
She dropped the pen?
She dropped the pen.
Well, it's good. She'd been divorced for a while. Dropped the pen.
She dropped the pen.
She is the central figure of this season.
Do you like what you've seen so far without spoiling anything for those of us who haven't started yet?
Yeah, it's entertaining.
Okay.
It's entertaining.
Okay.
But if I'm Kevin Spacey, not a pleasant individual, by the way, a great actor, but if I'm Kevin Spacey, I would be going nuts because Trump is making House of Cards look tame.
No.
With an exception. Again, season 4, episode 4, there's your big plot point.
Ooh.
Episode 4.
We gotta wait 4 episodes.
And you've been on
episode.
No, but I thought you were on episode 3.
No, I'm on. I finished 1.
Oh, good.
But I'm off for a couple days this week. At the end of the week, so I'm going to try and catch up.
Yeah.
To you.
See,
anyway.
This is why it was so much easier when we just watched shows once a week and we were forced to wait for them. So.
You know, I just watched an episode where Lauren Green saved a horse. So.
You know what? That's tremendous. And you'll never have another show where your cook is named Hop Sing and you make him stay in the kitchen.
That's true.
Not great.
Hey, you know, I actually did want to talk about a movie from last.
Yeah, what do you got?
This weekend. I just wanted to talk about 10 Cloverfield Lane, which made like $26 million over the weekend. Did very well. If anybody is like intrigued by seeing 10 Cloverfield Lane, it's another movie that you just stay away from any kind of spoilers. But it is it's a very, very good movie. Really clever. Really suspenseful. It's basically like a 3-person movie. There's like basically 3 characters in it. Most of it takes place in a bomb shelter, in a fallout shelter. And it's very suspenseful, really good. just, it tightens the screws for 90 minutes and it never stops. And I'm telling you, John Goodman is unbelievable in it. And it just goes to prove that if you put Goodman in anything, it's automatically good, because he's great in it. And I highly recommend it. It did very well at the box office last week. And it's the one movie out there right now that's definitely the best thing out.
Yeah, and I've not seen it, but I know how it ends.
Okay, I won't ruin it for you.
No, no, I do. I mean, I was reading some things casually, and I came across a spoiler that wasn't labeled a spoiler, and there you go.
There's come on. Somebody really did that?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I hate that.
So I'll just tell you, Trump's in it. Trump, the big scary thing outside the place where Goodman is hiding, it's Trump. It's just Trump. It's Trump outside.
It's spoiler. Wow. Spoiler.
And he's huge.
Yeah, and that's why it's the most terrifying film ever made.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Take a nap, then go vote. I'll talk to you later.
I'm going to vote now.
So. All right, do that now. That's a good call. There you go. That's Nick. He's on tonight. He's going to do a tribute to Jerry Lewis, who turns 90. 90.
Ooh.
The big 9-0. Dave, you got 5 years to that, so you're going to be fine.
Okay, I've got a few more.
It's 6:30. We'll come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
6:42, time for Kid of the Week, sponsored by Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. Remember, at the end of the year, the fine people at Ray and Raymond Chevrolet, they're going to give us $5,000 to give to the Kid of the Year again. Dave and Mary have volunteered, no, insisted that they be the ones to pick the Kid of the Year after last year being in a state of just panic about it. It turns out you liked it.
But we did a good job.
It would be my honor.
No. Yes. You did a great job.
Yeah.
Not a good job. A great job.
Yes, we did. Right, Dave?
Yes we did, Mary.
And
teamwork.
We're excited. We're excited for this year.
You guys kind of went Trump there. I complimented you and you topped it. Yes, we were great. We were really great. Our pick was huge. The Kid of the Year, you go to WGNRadio.com/contest. You submit an entry for Kid of the Week. Kid between 5 and 18, you think ought to be Kid of the Week. Winner will be announced here on the show, as we're about to again. And the Kid of the Year comes from all entries for the year. Thanks again to Ray Chevy in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevy in Antioch. And see all the great inventory and deals at rayandraymonddeals.com. Before we meet the Kid of the Week, let's meet somebody that the Kid of the Week knows well, and that is Teacher Toby Black. Good morning, Toby.
Good morning.
Where do you teach?
I teach the best grade, second grade.
It's got to be fun. I mean, and look, I don't know that I would have been a very good teacher at all, but I love little kids. Little kids are the best.
And I think you would have made a great teacher, Steve.
Well, it's nice of you to say. But we're talking about 7 and 8-year-olds then?
We are, yes.
And what is today, when you go in today, what's the project? What's the thing you're working on today?
Well, actually, we're not going in today because it's election day and our school is a polling place, so we're closed today.
When you go in tomorrow.
Yeah.
What are you working on in class right now?
Oh, my gosh. We're probably going to play a spelling game called Sparkle in the morning. The kids love to play that. I try to make learning as fun as possible for the kids. We do chants and cheers and energizers in between all of our intense learning that we do. So I like to make my classroom a fun place to come to every morning.
And before we meet the kid, I'm just going to go around the room quickly here. When you guys think back at teachers that had an impact on your life, for me, there was a guidance counselor and one teacher in high school, but I remember my elementary school teachers like it was yesterday. And frankly, it wasn't. Because when you're a little kid, you know, you're scared. You're a little kid, you're going to school, you're scared. You're scared. You don't know how you're fitting in, what's going to happen today, whatever. And to have a friendly face and somebody that really cares about you, obviously, like this fine teacher, Toby, that's a big deal.
Thank you.
It's a very big deal. Dave, did you have a teacher back in Washington?
I think I mentioned my acceptance speech on Friday, my kindergarten teacher, Ms. McCafferty.
And where's Ms. McCafferty today?
I'm not sure. I'm afraid she might no longer be with us. She was rather, I mean, this is a few years ago.
So she would be 149
probably,
now,
yes. But sweet lady.
But a wonderful woman.
Yes, she was.
Dave doesn't know we had to cut off some of that speech.
We did have to cut off some of your acceptance speech. That's right. Now, did you have a teacher that sticks out from your elementary school year?
Love Miss Irwin, Miss Roberts, Miss Stewart, my Mrs. Noteboom. All of
I'm
my,
sorry, Mrs. Noteboom?
Mrs. Noteboom. She's wonderful. And
what
Mrs.
grade
Nelson,
was that?
Fourth and fifth grade.
Okay. How about you, Mary? Did you have a teacher?
Oh, Mrs. Benson.
Mrs. Benson.
My favorite, St. Alexander School. Mr. Cass, Mr. Cassiello.
Grzanich, awesome. Did you actually go to school?
I did, yes. I had a wonderful kindergarten teacher. Her name was Phyllis Hayes, and she just died recently. She was 92.
How about that, Toby? That should make you feel good. A bunch of old people sitting around here talking about how important their female teachers were, or their teachers, I should say, were at that point in their lives.
Well, that's exactly why I became a teacher, because of my primary grade teachers when I went to school in Chicago. I remember them fondly, and I knew from a very early age that I wanted to work with kids.
Yeah, my daughter tells me the same thing. She works with kids with autism, and it, I don't know. I just think it takes a special heart to do what all you guys do. So hold the line, if you would, please, because we're going to meet a phenomenal kid of the week in a second. We're going to need more from our friend Toby as well. At 6:46, don't go far, Lauren. We're going to talk to you after we take care of traffic here with Mary Vandeveld right now. And let's see, Mary, kid of the week, as I mentioned, sponsored by Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. You're sponsored by the voices in Trump's head. Here's Mary. And at 6:47, if you're 8 years old and you're in second grade, you ought to just be worried about having fun. And having fun means playing with your dog Abilene, you know, having fun with your twin sister Emma, your older sister Claire, your big brother Connor, and just doing kid stuff. But sometimes challenges come along in life, and it's how you respond to challenges. It affects the people around you. And that's why Lauren Graver is this week's Kid of the Week. Let's meet Lauren right now. Good morning, Lauren. How are you?
Hi.
Nice to talk to you. 8 years old?
Yes.
And I understand you're nuts for the Blackhawks.
Yes, I am.
Who's your favorite player?
Keith.
You love Duncan Keith. What do you like about him? Do you like that he's so tough? He never gives up?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it reminds me of you, because the story I'm about to tell about you, you sound like you're pretty tough as well.
Thank you.
Here's what we heard about you, Lauren, from your mom and from other people. You were diagnosed with a condition that I can't even begin to pronounce, but it's a form of cancer that you're dealing with and fighting every day. And when you were at Advocate Children's, or where you go there, you got a blanket. And the blanket from the hospital staff probably made you feel better, right?
Yeah.
So at what point does that blanket turn into something called Knots of Love? Was that an idea from your mom and your teacher, or was that your idea?
It was actually an idea from my library teacher and Miss Black. So,
hey, by the way, she sounds like a great teacher.
She is.
Yeah. So here's what happened. On February 11th, about 200 volunteers who heard about the project and know the world-famous Lauren Graver, got together, and Facebook and word of mouth spread, and they got together at the high school. They made 430 at the school, at the high school, actually, and they made 430 blankets.
Yeah.
430 blankets. Wow. And that was just the start. And I was told that you want to be known as the sick kid that helps other sick kids. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, God bless you, man. That is a great story. And were you able to give out some of these blankets yourself?
No, I wasn't.
So we had a distributorship. We had people, the grown-ups, going around taking care of that. And did you make an extra one for yourself?
No, but other people did. So
okay.
That was kind of nice.
You going to be able to do some more?
Yeah.
So you're dedicated to this. You're going to keep helping kids.
Yeah.
Well, you sound great. You sound great. I know how tough you are. So keep up the good fight. And tell me about your dog. You have a dog named Abilene?
Yes, I do.
And what's Abilene? What's she like?
She isn't the best at making good decisions.
You know what? That can happen. But it's very nice of you to put it that way.
Yeah.
And she got a little bit of shepherd in her. Looks like it.
Mostly bad decision maker, but.
Well, okay. Well, maybe you could work with her. You're affecting everyone else in a positive way. Maybe sit down and have a good talk with her. And listen, I love that you love the Hawks. I love that you love your family and your dog, and I love what you're doing. But you're just a fine, fine young lady, and I certainly love what you're doing for other people. So we're going to keep pushing for the fight for you as well. And I'm sure glad you have Toby Black as a teacher, because she sounds great.
She is, yeah.
And your mom must be pretty great as well.
Yeah, I love her.
Well, you give her a big hug and you keep up the fight. Thanks for being on, and keep an eye on Abilene. She sounds like trouble.
She is.
All right, hold on, kid. You're the kid of the week. A sweetheart, huh?
That is so cute. What a great idea, too. Think about it.
Knots of Love. Knots of Love.
yet.
Okay, you've heard of Locks of Love. This is a great cause. This is Knots of Love.
Knots of Love. Yeah.
So let me go back to our teacher here. Our teacher. You know what? We could all use a little more edumacation. Let me go back to Toby Black. So Toby, is this Knots of Love thing going to be an ongoing deal?
No, actually, it was a one-time event.
Okay.
And it started out, we were thinking, you know, perhaps 100 people, 100 blankets.
Right.
But we started a Facebook page. We advertised around the community. And by December, we realized we are going to need a bigger gym than our elementary school gym at Lyons Park. So we contacted Prospect High School. And they were more than generous. They fully embraced our event, and we used their cafeteria. And the event started at 4 o'clock, and by 4:30, I'm telling you, that entire cafeteria floor was filled with people that knew the Gravers, people that didn't know the Gravers, basketball teams, confirmation classes, Girl Scout troops. Word just spread like wildfire. And there were over 400 people there. And all of our staff members were present with our Lauren Strong T-shirts that we had made. We were wearing those. It was just like a big party for Lauren. It was an unforgettable evening.
Sounds like a heck of a kid, too.
Oh, she is amazing. You know, the Gravers have taught their kids that life isn't about you. It's about what you do for others. And this is such a really good thing that has come out of cancer. Lauren's cancer is that this silver lining and all these blankets that she'll be helping 436 kids as a result of Knots of Love that was inspired by her courage, her strength, her perseverance. Yeah, she's just an awesome kid.
So I want everybody to keep her in your thoughts today and her family as well, and know that no matter what's going on in your world, you know, tough day in traffic, maybe you had a fight with your wife or your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, or maybe all four of them, or maybe you've got a dog that's a bad decision maker. Lauren is 8 years old. 8 years old. Her primary concern today ought to be to make sure mom or dad put the right lunch in. You know, or tomorrow when she goes back to school. And she's fighting the fight. She's paying it forward. She's kid of the week. So thank you for what you do, Toby. And you got a great kid to keep an eye on there with Lauren. And we're going to stay positive that everything's going to work out great.
It sure is, Steve. That's the only way to think.
All right. You hold the line if you can. All right. So there you go.
That is such a cool idea.
Knots of Love. Pick it up, pay it forward, do it in your own school.
Mm-hmm.
Great idea.
And she's got a lot going on right now.
Well, she's got a dog that's a bad decision maker.
I mean, you know, love that.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that she's 8 years old and she understands that, and she sounds very sweet about it. She goes, look, we love Abilene, but she's a bad decision maker.
Yes. What kind of dog is she?
I wonder what she did. Well, it probably...
Well, it sounds like multiple incidents.
Yeah. I was curious.
Say that to your kids, no matter how old they get. A good decision maker.
Yeah. Make good decisions.
That's tremendous. Well, there you go. That's what we try to do every week on Kid of the Week. Thank you, and don't forget to get your submissions in. It's 6:54. We'll continue, and we'll get back to the big, bad, real-world news of the day, the election. Lots coming up on 720 WGN.
There's an L stop you can go to. If there's a phone call you can make, there's a person you can convince. Please do everything you can.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7-Eleven, though, Secretary of State Clinton, the former Secretary of State, Senator, and First Lady, will be on the show this morning about 8:20. Andrea tracked down Hillary's people yesterday, roughed them up, gave them the old Trump rally treatment, and now Hillary's on today. At Pat underscore Brady, Next Generation Strategies is the company. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Doing fine. All right. So as we go through this election day, what sermon do you want to preach to the congregation?
Get out and vote. And if you're voting Republican, anybody but Donald Trump for the good of the party and the good of the country. And the thing to watch, I think the big race to watch nationally is it looks like Bernie might have caught up with Hillary, so that's going to be fascinating tonight.
The impact of losing Illinois is how big a deal to Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, I mean, she's still going to win the nomination. The way the rules are set up for the Democrats with the superdelegates and the way the rest of the map shakes out, she's going to win the nomination. But losing both Michigan and Illinois basically back to back. That's a real bad sign for her. And for Democrats, it gives Bernie a big voice in the party. And you got to remember, Bernie's a socialist. I mean, he's way, way far left. And when you go to a general election, that's not the guy you want out front and center because the country's not socialist.
All right, Pat, they're predicting very high voter turnout today in Illinois. So who is that good for on both sides? High voter turnout better for Bernie? High voter turnout better for who, Kasich, Trump? Who would you say?
I think it depends on where the high voter turnout comes from. I mean, if it's in the city or in Chicago in the collars, cooking the collars, that's good for Bernie. You know, if it's downstate and in suburban Cook County and suburban, you know, the collar counties, it's probably probably good for Trump. I don't think that Kasich or Cruz are going to drive huge turnout. It seems that Trump people are the ones that are showing up, but we'll wait and see. It seems that Trump has been kind of backsliding here in Illinois since about the time of the David Duke comments and stuff that happened Friday. So, again, it just depends on where the turnout's coming from.
You know, sometimes you can wake up with a rash and you don't know where it came from. I'm concerned about Ted Cruz. Because we haven't been talking about him for a while. Any chance he could sneak in and be a surprise today?
I think there's a decent chance he could sneak in and surprise today, which I agree with you. I think long term, that's bad news because I don't think Cruz, because he's so far to the right, is electable. But remember now, we're just fighting over delegates, the Republicans are. So anything you do to keep Donald Trump from getting to the 1,237 delegate numbers is good news for the party because it just means it's going to go to an open convention and we can pick a candidate that can actually win. And make no mistake about it, any poll, any survey, any analysis, Donald Trump cannot beat Hillary Clinton. So vote for Donald Trump today. You're voting for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and a vote for Donald Trump now mathematically is still a million votes behind the total number of votes that Clinton's already taken. In other words, the total population of people that go out and vote, including in a lot of open primaries, more people are voting for Hillary Clinton than Donald Trump now, let alone when it's a one-on-one.
Yeah, and you can't have 8 in 10 Hispanics, the most important growing demographic, hate you like they do Donald Trump and win. There's a great commercial out that came out yesterday where they use female actors or actresses to actually do the quotes that Donald Trump has said about women,
right.
And they're brutal. So you lose there. He's insulted every group, African-Americans, Hispanics, veterans, women. There's nobody he hasn't insulted. And whether you think what his message is right or whether you share the anger, which a lot of people do, he's not going to win a general election with that kind of baggage.
Kasich's up 5 in Ohio in polling. I know how you feel about polling. What's your level of confidence that Kasich wins Ohio?
It's organization in Ohio. And Ohio, it's because it's always been a swing state. They have a tremendous state party and state party organization. Turn out the vote operation, in other words, and Kasich runs and controls that. So I think he's going to get his people out, whereas we've seen even here in Illinois, Trump fired his campaign manager just a couple of days ago. He has no ground game. I'm assuming he has no ground game in Ohio, and without a ground game in Ohio, it's going to be very difficult for him to beat Governor Kasich.
You're on TV this morning, so let us know when you have to jump, but we got to do traffic here. And then if there's time, more with Pat Brady in just a moment. Mary Vandeveld, what do you have for us? .720 polls are open. About an hour from now, Hillary Clinton will be on with us. She was on with Roe yesterday. Don't know if you caught that. That's probably podcastable at this point. @Pat_Brady. And it is Next Generation Strategies, the company that Pat Brady fronts. Fronts, I make it sound like it's some sort of gambling operation. It's a legitimate political company. I apologize.
That's all right. Gambling's okay.
Well, I suppose it depends on the client.
This is the biggest gambling we're going to do here with the basketball.
Yes, with the picks. Well, you'll get yours in later. You have a very busy day ahead of you. So in Illinois, specifically in Illinois, we want everybody to get out and vote. We want you to make your picks. Make the case for Kasich as you see it in Illinois.
Well, he's the most ready to be commander-in-chief. He had 18 years. He's on the Armed Services Committee. He knows how Washington works. He's been the governor of Ohio. He's had legislative and chief executive experience. He, like Ohio, like Illinois, had a massive budget deficits and debt and hemorrhaging jobs, and he turned that state around. So if you're looking at qualifications to be commander-in-chief, the national security foreign policy experience he got in Congress, in addition to balancing the budget when he was working with President Clinton and as a Republican in Congress, and his chief executive experience, he, of anybody in this field, is clearly the most qualified to be commander-in-chief.
And there's nothing more partisan than primary season. Having said that, can you also talk for a moment about how important it is for the president of the United States to actually be able, in the Republican case, to sit down and work with the Democrats?
Yeah, that's why I think a lot of the anger that you're seeing that's fueled this Trump momentum is people are angry because nothing's getting done. And if you run too far to the right, and if you're a bomb thrower like Ted Cruz and some of the other candidates, you're not going to get anything done. It can't be about ideology. It's got to be, and you say it all the time, you're president of all the people of the United States, not just Republicans or Democrats. So you got to be able to work with Congress. And Kasich, John Kasich, Governor Kasich, has proven time and time again, both when he was in Congress and as chief executive in Ohio, that he can do that. If not, we're just going to be in the same spot 4 years from now.
The Constitution set up that we have three equal and separate branches of government. Well, we focus on the race for the White House. I think everybody assumes the president has immaculate power and is able to trump, poor choice of words, is able to beat back Congress and the Supreme Court at every turn. That's not true, is it?
No, and that's why, and I totally disagree with the strategy or tactic, but that's why President Obama in the waning days of his term has been doing these executive orders, because he hasn't been able to, and it's partly his fault, get along with and work with Congress. You know, the president, historically, we've read the same history, was a national, you know, he's commander-in-chief. It's national security, foreign policy, and the budgetary, the spending is usually in the House of Representatives. So it truly is, you know, and the Supreme Court obviously interprets the Constitution. It really is three branches of government. And when it operates best is when it operates that way. But you can't just be out there on your own. You got to work with people. And that's, you know, when, I know it's an old story, but that's why Ronald Reagan was so effective. He got along with Tip O'Neill, and they got great things done. You know what? Newt Gingrich got along with Bill Clinton, got welfare reform and a lot of good legislation and a balanced budget in the 1990s. So you absolutely have to work together. Anybody that says that they're going to be an ideologue, it's not going to work.
Which brings us back to where we started, which is Trump, and why, again, if you're, you know, not on the far right or the far left and you're still willing to hear facts, the fact is that President Trump, I almost threw up my mouth there a little bit, President Trump can't get anything done that he's talking about doing, let alone the fact that he doesn't understand the powers of the presidency himself.
Or even the policies he's trying to articulate. If you really go and read what he's put out and listen to what he said, he might be the least substantive candidate I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
He's running for president of the United States. Look at his tax plan. It's going to blow a hole, a bigger hole in the deficit and debt. And the only people that are going to get tax cuts are the very wealthy. Look at his health care plan. Anything he's talked about, foreign policy is not a real estate deal. You can't go over to China and say we're going to make great deals. That's not how they work. And I think this president, unfortunately, has learned the hard way. You've really got to understand these countries that don't particularly care for us and figure out how to deal with them. And it's not as simple as bringing in the best consultants and I'm going to make great deals.
Yeah, and I would just, again, ask people if they're leaning Trump's way but haven't decided yet to consider why you're leaning Trump's way and separate yourself from the noise and the actual giving the job to him and how frightening that looks. Because once he has the job, the game has changed. And even though statistically it doesn't look like there's any way he could beat Hillary Clinton in a general election, you really want to take that shot? You really want to turn it over to a 50-50? Because I don't. I think he's legitimately dangerous.
I agree. I think he is legitimately dangerous. And it's not like I am very sympathetic to the anger, because I think the last 7 years, maybe even beyond that, the people haven't really been taken care of. There's wage stagnation. I think this administration likes to see America as just a declining power, and they're fine to do that. So a lot of people are mad, and I get it. I'm angry, too. But I think transferring that anger to a guy like Donald Trump, who is a policy lightweight with a bad temperament, and you've seen the behavior he's exhibited during this campaign, he's not the right guy to be commander-in-chief.
It's an interesting time that can only be affected by you exercising the great privilege you have to vote. So please do that today. Polls are open and open till 7 o'clock tonight. You're going to be all over TV and radio all day. So we'll hear more from
all day. I'm voting all day.
Yeah, well, I'm like Liza Minnelli. I got wardrobe changes in the car, so I just can keep taking laps. Hey, this guy looks familiar. No, he's someone else, I'm sure.
I have three ties, Steve, so you're going to see the same one all day today.
Yeah, but y'all, your ties are red.
That's it. That's
different shades of red. Anyway, thanks for all the help, as always, and we'll talk to your buddy Eric Edelstein in a bit, and good luck today.
Thank you.
See you later. At @Pat_Brady. How about it? Some Hawks tickets. Would that cleanse a palate? You want a free pair of Hawks tickets? Anybody? Anybody?
Refreshing
anybody?
Today? Yeah.
Anybody want Hawks tickets?
Mm-hmm.
Well, none of you can win. I have a pair of tickets to see the Chicago Blackhawks play the Philadelphia Flyers. They're pretty bad, aren't they?
The Flyers actually have not been terrible.
I haven't looked at much at the East this year outside of the Caps.
The East has been kind of a jumbled deal. The Flyers they're sitting there.
How many points
are they? They have 76 points.
Well, that's not terrible.
That's not terrible. And they are right now, let's see, where are they as far as the – but they're kind of middle of the pack in the East.
Yeah.
They have a winning record.
Well, they're going to be in town tomorrow, and you have an opportunity to be there. Plus, win these tickets, you're qualified to win season tickets, four of them for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingAndCooling.com or on Facebook. Kevin's not here. Normally, we do caller 720, but we like Mary, so for Sandberg's sake, let's do caller 7. Caller 7 at 312-981-7200. Just that easy. You win next. This is 720 WGN.
Live from downtown Chicago, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
739, Eric Edelstein will join us shortly. Actually, you know what? Shortly meaning an hour from now. Eric Edelstein will be on in about an hour. We'll talk to Hillary Clinton at 820 this morning. And our friend Natasha Kurecki, who you read forever in the Sun-Times, doing a great job now at Politico. And she is at Natasha Kurecki. And she got a very busy day ahead. Thanks for taking time for the show.
Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
What are you?
Looking forward to the big day.
Are we anticipating more than we should be? Because we think it's going to be big turnout all over. My daughter, Amy, just called. She just voted.
Oh, good.
Said there was a line.
Good.
What are you hearing around the state, if anything yet?
Well, we've had record numbers of early turnout in Cook County and the city. And, you know, as we've learned in the past, it's not necessarily an indication of, you know, turnout during on actual election day. But, you know, if there's some argument to be made that people are excited about this one. I mean, look, we've been getting just completely bombarded by it. So I would tend to think that between the presidential race, the Cook County state attorney's race, you know, these few state lawmaker races that are really contentious, I would think that everybody would get their people out today and we'll see some big turnout.
And a lot of times, especially in primary voting, the city, you know, it's tough to live in the city anyway, and now I got to go where to vote and all of that. But it seems to be from the presidential side of this, the early voting, and I don't know if there's any way to even quantify this. The early voting is either going to be driven by people who love Trump or hate Trump and want to have their voice heard. But that, Natasha, that's what we've been saying. At least get out there and express yourself.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, in our Illinois playbook this morning, I included a link to the Illinois State Board of Elections website. And you can type in your name and address and find out exactly where your polling place is if you don't know. And and get out there. There's no excuse, right?
Absolutely. Natasha, I asked Pat Brady this earlier today. They're expecting high voter turnout based on the early voting results, which were the highest in Cook County ever, I think. There's going to be a high voter turnout today. Do you think that's good for either Bernie or Hillary and or Trump and, say, Kasich, perhaps?
Well, you know, on the Democratic side, I think it probably benefits Sanders. He's looking at to draw, you know, bigger crowds. You know, the more voters you have out there, the more likelihood that you've got new voters, you have younger voters, and those are the types of people that are going for Bernie Sanders. Hillary Clinton has more of these, you know, these traditional voters, traditional Democratic voters who followed her and her husband for years, particularly in the minority communities. So I think higher turnout is going to end up benefiting Sanders. On the Republican side, it is so difficult to know because there's so many different constituencies following different. I mean, you have, you know, a big Kasich crowd here, but you also have Cruz surging. And then, as you say, of course, Donald Trump is turning people out everywhere across the country, including likely here. So I think if we see an increase here, it could end up benefiting Trump, but it's going to be so split up in that case. It'll be less decisive than in the Democratic side.
Normally an Illinois legislative seat, you know, well, it's a big deal to a smaller group of people. It's very, very unusual, if unprecedented, for the president of the United States to weigh in, as he has in the Ken Duncan race. And Ken Duncan got gets you out of Stratton. And Ken Duncan got a little extra cash, according to you guys, at Politico?
Yes, right. $500,000, $500,000 on the night before the election. I don't even know how you spend that.
Exactly. We go to Costco, get more votes.
That's one heck of a voting day operation. And what's fascinating is, you know, I've been hearing all along in this case, it's Duncan versus Juliana Stratton. I mean, people are tripping over each other in that district because you have so many resources, unions on the one side going for Stratton, and all of Mike Madigan's foot soldiers, and you have all these people on the other side that are pro-Rauner, that have, you know, they have all these resources, so they've gotten all these people, and they're tripping over each other because really it's just a state lawmaker race. It's a down ballot race. You know, typically Ken Duncan's not even had any formidable competition in the past, and here this is one of the marquee races of the state this round. So it is definitely one to watch. I mean, for me, it's presidential, Cook County State's Attorney, and then the Duncan race.
Why? What's the prevailing wisdom on why this is a big deal to Obama?
Well, you know, it's a big deal to Mike Madigan. So that's why it's a big deal to Obama.
Now, if you're telling me that Madigan has influence on the White House, now I'm getting more frightened because we still have time to run.
Well, he certainly does. And not just Mike Madigan, but the Democratic Party of Illinois. It's here we have this budget stalemate, and from the Democratic side, you know, they probably convinced Obama that this Rauner's holding this up. Here is the one person that Rauner peeled off from the Democratic supermajority. That means that, you know, that the Democratic veto-proof majority is no longer. It's being able to break it off means that Rauner can stop Madigan from overriding his vetoes. And, you know, boom, Madigan asks the president of the United States to get involved, and he's gotten involved. So, you know, here we go. It'll be fascinating to see what happens.
So this comes down to, you know, based on everything you've heard, this comes down to how dare you not play along in Mike Madigan's world.
Right. I mean, it's you pay a price. You know, if you're going to be rogue and go with the governor who's Republican, when you're a Democrat, then, yeah, you will pay a price. And we're seeing the same exact thing play out in reverse downstate. We have a Republican who went against Rauner, McCann in the downstate area in Springfield, and he's getting targeted by somebody that Rauner's allies have put up against him, Bryce Benton, and the exact reverse is happening. I mean, Barack Obama didn't get involved in that race, but
right.
But tons of money, tons of resources, and these are people who are trying to be made examples of. You know, you defect, this is what happens. So, yes, it'll be very interesting to see what happens after all of this, you know. Depending on who wins, how does it shift things in Springfield to whatever extent it's able to?
I can't imagine they could figure out a way to get less done, but maybe they can. the state's attorney's race, before I let you go, the state's attorney's race, is it going to be as tight as it appears it will be?
You know,
A week ago, it was interesting because a week ago, I thought it was going to be extremely tight. What I was hearing over the weekend and even yesterday was that Kim Fox's was pulling away, that her organization had really broken through. Maybe some of that's from the UIC, you know, these younger kids all out, and they're feeling idealistic, and they're feeling like they can make change. So it's looking good for Fox right now. I do think it'll still be close, but you have so many, you have the unions behind her, you have all these different organizations, ward organizations in key areas in the city. Some of the polling data that I heard about recently was Alvarez doing very well in the Hispanic wards, but that may be the extent of it. I do think we'll see Fox, if not prevail, do well.
Any chance Donna Moore could come from behind?
So, in other words, the top two would
right because there's so much mudslinging between those two candidates, and Donna Moore is kind of this silent. I think she's a great candidate.
I think she's a strong candidate too. I just don't think she has enough support to overcome those other two and their numbers.
Yeah, that seems to be the case. She hasn't really broken through the way that Fox has, and certainly like all the powers that be are behind Fox, the momentum and so forth. But you're right. I mean, you have Fox and Moore splitting up. To the extent there's a protest vote for Laquan McDonald and the handling of it, we have these two candidates splitting that vote. So that definitely benefits Anita Alvarez. Anita Alvarez likes the fact that Donna Moore is in this case, in this election. So right. it definitely helps her.
At Natasha Kurecki on social media, if you go to Politico, check out the Illinois Playbook all the time. I know it's a busy day. Thanks for taking some time for us.
Thanks for having me.
Talk to you soon. That's Natasha doing a nice job at Politico. You can just Google Illinois Playbook, Politico, Illinois Playbook. Anything like that, Andre Darlis, you're going to get information.
She's great. At Natasha Kurecki, Twitter.
Stand by. More to come. Steve Cochran Show. Let's take a breather from politics in just a moment. I have a story out of Minneapolis this morning that'll make you think, well, maybe it's not the end of the world, but we're getting closer. Are you ready to go to a water bar? Coming up on 720 WGN.
To the Steve Cochran Show.
Voice of Ann Johnson. She's stopping by later.
You said that last week.
Well, yeah, but then
my
she
cookies.
Didn't. Yeah, it was a whole thing. It's, again, my fault, like most things are. But we'll get together for our little morning show meeting. And you listeners are invited if you can get to the seventh floor at 10:30 this morning.
Get past security.
Yeah.
You have to know Steve's social security number.
Remember, it's 1-234-5678. All right, so there are specialty bars and coffee shops and things that pop up all the time, right?
All the time, yeah.
And I lived in Minneapolis, St. Paul for 5 years. Hip city. It's a cool place, and it's one of those things that if the weather wasn't unbelievably sucky for the majority of the year, you'd have, 15 million people living there. That's how great it is. But Minneapolis is known for occasionally having a restaurant that might be a little too funky.
Mm-hmm. Too trendy.
Yeah. Like, a place that serves just buns but not hot dogs. That's an example. That's everything. The Minneapolis Star Tribune reporting that Minneapolis is about to get their first water bar.
Is that what we think it is? I mean,
yeah.
They just sell water?
It's called the Water Bar.
Is it purified water? I mean, is it real?
Orion's head is going to explode.
It's a public art project that's intended to get people talking about how important water is. However, there will be bottles of water, samplings of bottles of water from around the world.
Yeah, but
and around America.
You know, there's certain water that tastes a little bit better, whether it's Fiji or Evian, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
But doesn't it all pretty much taste the same?
No. I would argue it doesn't.
So you get a flight of water?
And the reason I would argue it doesn't is because my dad's dead. Because he would be spinning and you'd be able to hear the whir at this point if he knew how much money I spend on bottled water.
You know, I should say within reason. I mean,
as
you don't
pop the top on my Evian.
I mean, you don't want Flint water or Sochi water.
Flint bottled water would be a terrible business idea.
Sochi water.
Sochi, the same thing. Rio.
Not good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, all bad. All bad. So Works Progress Studio is the place that is doing this. How's a water bar different from the regular ones? Well, your bartenders will be artists and various other people that aren't going to have to worry about mixing it just right. But let's say you go in and you want a Poland Spring. Poland Spring is generally just sold on the East Coast. Maybe it's on the West Coast now, too. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I've seen Poland Spring.
Have you seen it on the West Coast?
West Coast.
Yeah, okay. So on the coast. But if you like Poland Spring, you don't see it here. And there's Midwestern waters that are also only available here.
Like the nice brands. And
yeah. I think the biggest problem with this project, even though it's, you know, again, it's all about the importance of water in society, is telling people you went there.
I think so, too.
You know, how'd you do last night? Oh, I had a long night. I closed at water bar. And it's a water bar. How long's the line at the bathroom?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Good point. Yeah.
Do you get water on the rocks?
I think you can.
Nice.
Now, can you? That's a good question. Can you add stuff to your water, like a splash
lemon,
of vodka?
Sure. Some lemon.
Well,
I'm thinking liquor.
Vodka.
No, it's focused on the water. I don't think there's. I don't even think they have a liquor license.
Okay, so it's just water. But
I'm pretty
sure you can add things like fruit. You know, an
orange
slice.
Yeah, I don't know if they have food.
Well, that sounds exciting.
They should have bread. Just water and bread.
Like jail.
Like prison. But it's in Minneapolis. If you Google Minneapolis Water Bar, you can get all the information on it. I would post this link. But I don't want to. It's a water bar. I don't know if it's a pickup joint. You know what I mean?
Can I buy you a water?
Oh, boy.
You come here often for water?
Splash of lemon.
What is he drinking? Water. You? Water.
So they don't have, like, baristas there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what would they be called? People that get you water?
Aquistas.
Aquistas. Look at you inventing terms.
That's nice.
But I would go. If I was in Minneapolis, I would go to this.
Why? Just to say you've been?
Yeah, and I would sample some of the special.
Get a flight? Get a flight of water?
Yeah, for like $20, a flight of water.
Well, normally, and you guys have been better about this lately, not that I ever ask you to, but normally, because I don't drink coffee, if somebody on the show goes to Starbucks, a bottle of water costs me about $37.50 because you all guys all get $12 coffees.
No.
And I get a bottle of water.
Ours are only like five.
Not
six.
Even. Not even.
Yeah.
Mine's very basic coffee.
Yeah, and I get what Dave gets, so.
Dave, I've had lunch with you. You're not going to be the guy that goes, hey, I just had a salad. Have you seen that commercial that's out now with a bunch of guys arguing and the guy goes, I just had a salad?
That is funny.
Breaking up the check.
Guys don't do that.
No.
Oh, like, please. No. Are you kidding? I agree. I think you said one time a bunch of women will go out, we'll split it to the cent, which is awful and embarrassing. Guys will put in, what, $25 if they just had, you know,
a hamburger. I went out to lunch yesterday with Big Shots DeCastro and Manly, and DeCastro always picks up the check, but he should. I had a crouton. I just had one crouton.
Mm-hmm. And a water.
And a $47 water.
Why'd you get a crouton?
How do you order a crouton? Did you say, I'll have the Cobb salad, but
I opened a restaurant here on Michigan Avenue. It's called Crouton. It's just crouton.
Really?
Crunchy. There's nothing else.
Put in a water bar next door. You're in business.
We're trying to get our water license. It's 8 o'clock. Dean's coming up. And Secretary of State Clinton is coming up. Eric Adelstein's coming up. All in the 8 o'clock hour next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks and the Captain James A. Lovell, Federal Health Care Center. Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9. Dean texted me last night, about, I don't know, 9 o'clock, said, I just realized it really is your birthday.
I should have it on my calendar, but...
That's fine.
I do have it on my calendar now. I put it on there, but I hadn't because normally, Andrea, back me up on this, don't we normally get like 3-4 weeks of promoing from Steve that his birthday's on the way?
We do. You know what, Dean? You're right. We
this
didn't
was
have a lot of
very, very
promotion.
Low key.
I have been so busy bashing Trump, I forgot about my own needs.
That's how much he cares about
Dean,
that.
I played the happy birthday for you, though.
Good.
Because I said you just didn't have it queued up at the time.
Yeah, I just, and Steve actually even said it to me yesterday that it's my birthday today. I thought you were joking.
You have an unfair advantage because you share a birthday with another celebrity.
very true. Mr. Orion Samuelson.
Orion Samuelson.
And I, on March 31st, if any of you want to put that on your Outlook calendar so you don't forget.
My birthday is, I think Sam Zell and I have the same birthday. We like to hang out together.
Oh, that's nice. Ride around on the motorcycle together?
Actually, you know who does have my birthday is Albert Einstein. Oh. And a lot of people say there's nothing that you two have in common. And you know what? They're right. And he has better hair. So
I've always said that Steve also equals MC squared.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. And people have scratched their own heads.
No idea what that means. But.
Barbershop 3 cast is in town last night. Ice Cube, Cedric, Anthony Anderson, and Common. They were all hanging around with Dean, and they did this game. Guess which one of these don't belong when they took a picture. but those guys, I mean, they're all good guys.
They're
we
great
hope that
guys.
Movie's great. We hope it's a good. It's all based on the South Side of Chicago I hope.
They're great guys. I loved the first Barbershop movie. Yeah. I liked the second one. I actually haven't seen this third one yet, but it's a mix of comedy from what I'm told by these guys. It's a mix of comedy, but they also weave in all of the problems that we're having in Chicago right now. When we talked with the cast, especially Ice Cube, because he's the producer of the film, he's kind of behind this. He said, if we have a film that's set in Chicago, if we didn't deal with the problems that are happening on the street in Chicago, we wouldn't be, be doing something useful for the community. So,
what role does Father Flager play in this movie?
No, interestingly, Father Flager and sex bunnies were not in this movie.
What?
Like Chirac.
What?
Interestingly enough, what I'm told is that this movie actually does a better job dealing with the problem of violence in Chicago than Chirac did. I know you'll find it hard to believe.
Well, listen, I like both of the first. I agree the first one was really good because it caught people by surprise. But I thought the first two were good. Listen, this Hamilton thing is crazy. Everybody talks about this is one of the greatest things you'll ever see on Broadway, one of the greatest things you'll ever see on stage. Have you seen it yet?
I have not. Every time I've been in New York, I either haven't had time or there is absolutely no way to score a ticket for this. And believe me, I've called in every favor possible trying to score one. So I, like most people, may have to wait until it comes here in Chicago in September.
And the creator and the star of this, I can't remember his name.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
And he was at the White House yesterday, right?
He was at, this is what's really interesting. He actually performed the first song from Hamilton 7 years ago as part of a poetry slam that, that was just like an educational thing. He got a grant that led him to develop the show, which now has become one of the biggest shows in the history of Broadway. So he and the cast of Hamilton performed in the East Room of the White House yesterday for students. They were doing, a thing yesterday celebrating art in America, original art in America. And he also did something out on the White House lawn in the Rose Garden with the president. Are you ready for a freestyling President Obama?
I am, actually. We know this that the president has musical talent, but can he throw down? What do you got? Let me hear it.
All right. Drop the beat.
He's throwing up some words. I'm going to say some freestyling that you never heard. Constitution, the POTUS. I'm freestyling, you know this. Obamacare, okay, I'm looking up because it was hopeless before you enacted that system. The federalism.
So the president actually does not rap, but he's holding, like flashcards with words. Like we see key words of the freestyle.
And then he's got to weave them into his rhyme.
And he's like really awkwardly dancing.
Yeah, he's kind of just rocking back and forth.
He honestly may as well be a white guy, the way that he's dancing out of rhythm.
Well, I got to be honest with you. He hangs around with a lot of white people, and some of that's going to get on you.
That's going to brush off on you.
Yeah, it's going to get on
There's no getting around that. But it did make me think this, with our the election that's going on today. I mean, this is really the most important function that a president have. Days like this, where you have rappers at the White House, pardoning turkeys, things like that. These are the really important functions. I'm tired of hearing. I mean, we haven't really heard about that many issues in this election anyway.
No.
But I think we get all the candidates in a room and they just have a freestyle rap competition. Winner takes all.
Trump has a rap. It's called I'm Huge, You're a Big Loser, which we're looking forward to hearing. All right. I know we're short on time, and we've got traffic and Hillary Clinton coming.
Apparently Hillary Clinton's more important than me.
But the bachelor couple, this is another major issue in America. The Bachelor picked his wife last night of 48 women or something, and came down to two, and he picked one last night. Did he go blonde? I heard he went blonde.
He did go blonde. Lauren Bushnell?
Oh, yeah, that was the one I was
Lauren thinking. Bushnell. Lauren B. Lauren
yeah,
B.
That's when I was a Lauren.
Yeah, oh, I wanted JoJo.
Me too. I thought JoJo was a puppy.
No, there was the other girl. Oh. Yeah, and he blew her off. He blindsided her.
I forgot. I never watched the show.
So they go on Jimmy Kimmel, if you didn't stay up super late last night, they go on Jimmy Kimmel, you know, and they're talking about it, but they do like a newlywed game. Turns out that they really don't know that much about each other.
What a shock.
They knew each other for 2 months.
Yeah.
That's it. God.
My favorite scenes in the promos are those where they go, I'm really in love with him. I am so in love with him. Granted, it's a downside that 35 other women also claim they're in love with him, but I think we can work around that.
Yeah, and he's making out with everybody on the show, but oh well.
All right, man.
My highlight from the Jimmy Kimmel thing, she goes, Ben is a very heavy breather out of his mouth.
Well, it sounds like
and
it'll
that
last.
That should be another question that you ask Hillary Clinton and all the other presidential candidates. I'd like to know if they're our leader, you know, what their sleep habits are.
All right, I'll open with it. I'll do that for you.
Totally. Perfect.
There you go. That's Dean at Channel 9, sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks and the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center. Back to Mary with your traffic trouble spots.
The biggest issue in this campaign is going to be the economy.
Hey, 8:25, Secretary Clinton running a couple minutes late here, so we're going to hang on as long as we can before we have to move on. In the meantime, Leslie McSpadden is the mother of Michael Brown. Remember mm-hmm. the Michael Brown case?
Oh, yeah.
Endorsing Hillary Clinton this morning.
Oh, okay. Very good.
So,
another endorsement there.
We'll get to the Secretary of State here, the former Secretary of State here in just a moment. As we look ahead to today's election, also Eric Edelstein will be on with us in about 20 minutes or so to discuss the Democrat side of things.
And get out and vote, too. We heard that there were some long lines in polling places on Chicago's west side and far northwest side as well. So just be patient. Obviously, polls just opened at 6 o'clock. As you alluded to earlier, Steve, this is a very busy time, morning, lunchtime, and evening. So just be patient. You will get to vote.
Yeah, and no excuses. You know, I mean, stuff comes up. Life happens, but it happens to everybody. There are people around the world, we say this all the time, there are people around the world who literally give their lives for the chance to vote.
Absolutely.
It's a great privilege here that we don't take seriously enough. And the one good thing I can say about Trump is that he's made this story such a huge story, there are more people voting because of him.
That's right.
This is an open primary, and we'll take this up with Edelstein. You know, you could go and you could go, look, I'm a Democrat, and I don't want Trump, so I'm going to vote for Kasich. I wouldn't advise you voting for Trump at this point because you want Trump to face your candidate, whoever your Democratic candidate is. I think Trump's dangerous in a general.
And if you voted, say, Republican in the last 10 primaries and you choose to vote Democrat today, you can. It's an open primary. You go in. You can decide right up to the last second before you ask for your ballot if you want to vote Republican or Democrat today.
On the Republican side. The far right of you and the far left of you, you've made a decision. But on the Republican side, Governor Kasich from Ohio has executive experience that matters. He can't be written off as just another politician. And in addition to that, he is a guy that has also been not just in Washington, but a guy that has been a governor in a state that succeeded. A lot of people made the argument about Kasich. Well, he walked into it. The economy was starting to come back. Whereas Trump said, they hit oil. Well, listen. You're the governor. Even on good days, you've got to manage the good days the way you manage the bad days. Governor Christie, who I used to respect, who's now following Trump around like a puppy and being insulted by Trump at live events. How'd you like to be Christie and have any integrity left when you're sitting at these events and Trump is talking about how you're an absentee governor? That's what he did yesterday.
I know. It's true.
And by the way, Christie yesterday did not attend a New Jersey state trooper's funeral, which is pretty much standard fare if one of your own uniformed men or women die in service to your state, that the governor would be there. You know where Christie was? Interviewing Trump in a town hall. You know, look, everybody's got to get up and look themselves in the mirror and feel good about it. I personally don't know how Chris Christie does it at this point. So here's what we're going to do. This is an audible since Clinton is so late. Let's take a 1 minute break here and come back And we will make the Secretary of State the big story. If she is joining us on the phone at that point. But you guys make your phone calls and figure out what the problem is. She's now 9 minutes and 30 seconds late. Not that we're on a schedule or anything. Back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Our friend Eric Adelson will join us in a moment. Orion Samuelson live from Washington a little bit later. Kevin Powell in Arizona. And David Hochberg, the grand wizard of mortgages and things, will be on to explain all of that. Are we going to our here? We're waiting. Well, let's say hi to Mr. Adelson. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Steve?
Well, it's Election Day.
It is.
It's delightful. It's a delightful day to be an American.
It is. It's in a sense a celebration of our democracy, right?
I believe that is exactly right, and I think everybody should get up, get out, and vote whatever time of day it is. Will we see a steady stream all day long?
I think you will. I mean, you end up having less people voting on Election Day when you have high early vote numbers, and we've had record early vote, so you won't have as much lines, but I think you will see a steady trickle across the state all day long.
I want to go over many of those races with you. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton standing by at Hillary Clinton on social media. Good morning, Madam Secretary. How are you?
I'm great, Steve. How are you doing today?
Well, we're doing fine. Thanks for being on. Andrea Darlis is here with me, and I know how busy this day is, so let's get after it with Illinois. Is this a must-win state for you?
Well, it's a state that I hope to win. Obviously, I'm a native of the state, born in Chicago, raised in Park Ridge, and have a lot of friends in the state. And I hope we'll be successful, but we're just going to keep working as hard as we can between now and when the polls close.
What were you hearing? I'll get Andre in here next. What were you hearing from voters in Illinois over the past week or so as a primary concern? Like, if there was one thing they brought up again and again, what was it?
It was the economy. Over and over again, people, you know, are very hopeful that we can, you know, get more good jobs with rising incomes. Even if it's not something that affects an individual, they know people who are affected. And I've put, you know, more jobs with rising incomes at the center of my campaign, because that's what I hear about in every state that I go to.
Secretary, good morning. Thank you for being with us. Cook County had the highest early voting ever in this particular election. What would your message be for the young voters today? We're expecting a very high voter turnout here in Illinois and Cook County. A lot of young voters heading to the poll, too.
Well, it's the same as I've been saying across the country, that every election is about the future. And that means there's more at stake for young people than there is for, you know, most other folks. Because if you talk about the economy, if you talk about getting rid of student debt, if you talk about making college affordable, if you deal with all the barriers that stand in the way of people getting ahead and staying ahead, you know, young people need all those barriers knocked down more than anybody, because they have their whole lives ahead of them.
You know, I like Bernie Sanders. We've had him on the show a couple times. He's like the crazy uncle at Thanksgiving that you really like hearing him tell stories, but eventually it's enough. And I'm not sure that he can pay for all of the plans and the plans that he's brought up and things of that nature. You've got to do the same thing. When you get to Washington, even with all your experience, you got to figure out how to pay for it. Have you run the math on some of those things that you've been talking about?
Yes, absolutely. Look, I don't think his promises, although the goals are really laudatory, I don't think his promises add up. And every independent expert and analyst has said the same thing. What I've tried to do is to link exactly how I would pay and what I am suggesting be done for the country in terms of, you know, investing in education and health care and, you know, creating opportunities for people is far, far less expensive than his proposals. So I feel confident that we have a path forward. Now, still, there will be political challenges. Obviously, I'm not in any way overlooking that. But I think that I do have the experience and the perspective that is needed to make the case for this. And I hope that we'll have a Democratic Senate. You've got a big Democratic Senate race in Illinois. You've got the primary today, and then you'll have a race till November. And we have a lot of good candidates around the country. So, you know, my plans add up. They are, I think, doable. They are realistic. And I believe we can get back on the path of, you know, creating more jobs. We were there when my husband was president. We got totally detoured under Bush. Poor President Obama, you know, inherited the worst financial crisis in our lifetime, and he dug us out of the ditch. I don't think he gets the credit he deserves for doing that. But now we've got to go further, and we've got to restore the bargain of America. If you work hard, you do your part, you are going to be able to get ahead and stay ahead.
You know, you've got a very unique place in history already, and it would be even more unique if you, in fact, win. First woman president, that's obvious. But also the first president to have a spouse who actually had the job before. What role does former President Clinton play in a future Hillary Clinton administration?
Well, I'm looking forward to having my husband's advice, particularly on the economy. You know, all the former presidents have asked Bill to carry out special missions, and I'm sure I would do the same. But I am, you know, very anxious to have somebody who, you know, presided over the creation of 23 million new jobs and the increase in incomes for every part of America to be by my side, making the case, coming up with good ideas. Look, it's going to be a time when I want everybody to chip in and help. I think this is one of the most consequential elections we've had in a very long time in America. And, you know, I'm proud to have Bill's help and expertise, and I want to put him to work.
You know, there's also the opportunity here, because I believe you will be the nominee, there's also the opportunity here for Bernie Sanders to have a louder voice. Now, I know you've known him for a long time, and I feel like you like him personally, regardless of how you differ on various things and how to get things done. And I think that's one thing the Democrats have done, you know, not like I need to say this out loud, a little better than the Republicans have done, actually talk about some issues without what's happening. But having said all that, would Bernie Sanders, if in fact you are the nominee, could you see him doing something in a Hillary Clinton administration?
Absolutely, Steve. I mean, first of all, you're right. We've run a campaign based on issues, not insults, and I'm proud of that. We do have our differences, and I think it's fair and right to point them out. But we have tried to stay focused on our goals for the country, the problems we want to solve, and you know, what we bring to the table. So I would very much like to have Senator Sanders be, you know, part of what we want to do to improve the lives of Americans. And you know, if I'm fortunate and I'm in the White House, he will still be in the Senate, and we're going to have to really work hard, starting literally on day one.
Secretary, in Illinois, as you know, we have no budget, a clear case of Republicans and Democrats not working together. How will you continue to reach across party lines to work with both parties if you're the nominee, if you're eventually the president?
Well, I have to say I find the situation in Illinois very distressing, Andrea. I do think that your governor has taken such a hard, uncompromising stance and has his own ideological pet projects that he's pushing. I have found in my experience that I can find common ground. I found it as First Lady, as Senator, as Secretary of State. I will do that again. And I know it's not easy, but I know it can be done. But you've got to listen to people. You can't just be, you know, directing and ordering people to do what you want to have done. So I'm going to seek common ground, but I will also stand my ground on critical, important issues that I think are key to America's future. But look, we've got to bring people together. We need to be uniting the country, not dividing the country, or in the case of Illinois, not dividing the state. And you know, putting at risk education and so much else that is critical to, you know, helping, many, many people, you know, manage the challenges of their work life and their education. So you can count on me to do everything I can to find that common ground.
Well, I think the key that you brought up there, because certainly you've taken a lot of fire from Republicans through the years, but you've returned it as well. The key here in Illinois is an understanding that the Democrats also bear a lot of blame. You got Mike Madigan and John Cullerton in Springfield who are helping tear the state apart as well. So, you know, we need that kind of discussion here that we're not having, and you can't have it if the state legislators don't show up or aren't called by Mr. Madigan. So when you get to Washington again, and the Senate or the House, if they're controlled by Republicans, want to play those games, I don't think you can be in the White House like President Obama has been as much. I think you got to take the limo over to Capitol Hill and shake them up a little bit.
Oh, I agree with that, Steve. You know, it's so funny because when I'm actually in some kind of a position, I have a good track record of being able to work with Republicans and get things done, even partisan Republicans. And I know the burden rests on the president because you've got to build those relationships. You have to open the door. You have to find opportunities to make common cause. You know, when I was first lady, after we weren't successful on health care, I worked with Republicans and Democrats to create the Children's Health Insurance Program. I worked with one of the most partisan Republicans, Tom DeLay of Texas, to reform the foster care and adoption system. We didn't have anything else in common, but I knew that he cared about foster children, so I reached out to him. And when I got to the Senate, I don't think that there was a Republican I didn't work with on something. And as Secretary of State, I had to round up 13 Republican votes to vote for an arms reduction treaty with Russia over nuclear weapons. So it takes constant, steady work. And, you know, when you're dealing with people who are ideological or just, you know, obstinate, you can't walk away. You've got to keep coming at them and, you know, give every opportunity for people to try to work with you. And that's what I will do.
Secretary, I heard your husband speak at the Rock of Ages in Maywood on Sunday. Very persuasive and beautiful speech. Said some wonderful things about you. I'm sure it's nice to have your family campaigning with you. And so my final question to you is, Steve, you just became a grandpa a few weeks ago.
First timer. It's great. 12 weeks old. She's beautiful.
And aside from showing selfies constantly, grandparenting advice.
Oh, that's true. Show. Yeah. Do you have any grandparenting advice for me since you got a head start on me?
Well, you know, Steve, first of all, congratulations. There is no experience in my life to match this. Okay, I have three quick words of advice. Number one, support the parents.
Yep.
Try to find your moments to offer advice, but don't deluge them with advice. You know, a lot of things have changed since you and I were first parents.
Sure.
So you got to be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, you do have to also be a little subversive. You're the grandparent, so you know it's okay to be supportive, but from time to time, a little subversion. And look, I'm waiting until I have the opportunity to provide maybe a little different worldview to my granddaughter. Expand her horizons, and finally, just have fun. You know,
yeah.
FaceTime was invented for grandparents.
Well, and I'm sure it's tough being on the road and being away from her, but I think that's as good as I've heard, and she is the new light of my life. Listen, be safe on the road, and please help protect America from Donald Trump in all the ways that you can. I am pulling for Governor Kasich to do well on the Republican side because I would certainly like to see a conversation between the two of you.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. And I hope everybody listening comes out and votes if you haven't already. We really need to have a big turnout in Illinois and try to keep the country on a better path than the one offered by some of the candidates on the other side.
Well said by you. HillaryClinton.com. Thank you for your time. I hope we can talk again. And this Wintrust Community Banks Hour continues. So, and those are the moments, Eric Edelstein, before we jump to traffic here, those are the moments where, as someone who does what you do every day, when you hear her let down her guard and be the real person that she has to be because she's a human being like everybody else behind the scenes, if you could get more of that out of her, am I right? Or
absolutely.
Right?
I mean, they have a new ad on the air. I don't know if you've seen it, where she's in a town hall and a little girl asks about equal pay. And she's, you know, it's not curated. Her reactions are genuine. Her eyes brighten. She laughs. She has a very, people have said it, you heard it now, a hearty laugh of, you know, and more of that humanity comes out. It's tough when you've been under siege. Everything you do is scrutinized. Everyone's got a cell phone all the time. It's hard to just let your guard down. But when she does, she comes across. And when you meet her in person, I've had the privilege over the years of meeting her, being in rooms with her, working with her. She's a wonderful person. Unfortunately, as she, by her own admission in the last couple of debates, being a political candidate does not come easily to her.
And by the way, for the sake of everybody, regardless of where you fall on the spectrum, if you are on the right to far right side and you're going, why didn't you ask about Benghazi? Why didn't you ask about the lies? Didn't you ask about the emails?
Yeah.
Listen, I make a policy of trying very hard not to answer questions that I know the answer to, or I should say ask questions that I know the answer to. I have heard the answers to those questions again and again and again. When she's in the general election and she comes back here, we will take the time to go through those. But I also believe that there's a matter of respect when you have a conversational dialogue with somebody to try to get information. And in this case, information specific to Illinois and questions that I've not heard the answer to, like what's your husband going to do in the White House? Because I still think she's going to lock the door occasionally because he's not easy to shut up once he starts talking. And what will Bernie Sanders do?
Well, I'd make one other point, Steve. And, you know, when you ask the Benghazi, the typical questions, you're going to get talking point
answers. That's what I'm
saying. Answers. And voters are sophisticated. People want to connect at a human level. And the questions you guys asked were great because you got to have a conversation with her rather than just attack questions and bullet point responses.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And how cool is it that you got grandparenting advice from a potential president of the United States?
Well, frankly, I'm already better at it than the other grandparents. Just ask at this point, if you ask Abigail Grace, she won't tell you, but I can tell you that's what she's thinking.
Be respectful. What was it? Be not submissive.
Yeah, subversive.
Subversive.
Great. Yeah.
How'd that play out?
I think there's been a couple of conversations maybe with his son-in-law where she and Bill had to bite their tongue a little bit. Huh? That's what it sounded like to me.
I think so.
Can you hang around for a second?
Yeah.
You got a minute? Because we just barely scratched the surface with you. More of Eric Edelstein coming up. Let's get traffic, and then we'll take care of business. News coming up, Orion coming up, and more of a breakdown of Election Day as we press forward on the Steve Cochran Show at 720 WGN. We'll get back to more of the White House race in a second. But one other thing, Eric, give me 60 seconds on this, if you would. Do you think the state's attorney's race is going to be as tight as we think it is?
I believe it will. I think you have a very divided county. I think you've had two candidates that have run really tough races, and I think it's going to come down to a few thousand votes.
That Kim Fox side of that equation seems to have the state machine behind her. Is that true?
Yeah, although how much machine there is left, there's some pockets, obviously, that matter. I think this, fortunately or unfortunately, I think this is going to divide along racial lines. I think Fox is going to do very, very well in African-American wards and precincts in the suburbs. I think Alvarez will do well, more well among sort of white Northwest side, Southwest side. And then I think sort of the progressive belt, will they move to Fox or not? And can Alvarez peel off enough in the African-American community? We'll see.
Too close to call?
I couldn't predict it. I've seen polling that's all over the place. I think it's a coin toss race right now.
Okay. We'll take a look at the polls. Eric's least favorite topic. We'll take a look at the polls, too, for the White House after 9 o'clock.
Everybody's watching us now. Do you know that? And they're not just watching us in the country. They're watching us in the world.
Get out and vote, kids. It's Election Day. Eric Edelstein's here. What's the company, Eric?
AL Media.
By the way, I don't think I've ever asked you this. The main generation of business, since you've done this for a long time, I don't know if you know, you're quite influential, is what? Is it word of mouth from other campaigns and things?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't ever have to promote, do you?
No, I mean, it's word of mouth. It's repeat business. It's reputation in the industry, that kind of thing.
Because I would think if I was running for office somewhere and I started asking around saying, who can help me formulate this thing?
Yeah, you get a reputation. Hopefully more good than bad.
Right.
So.
All right, so let me jump back to the White House with you for a second, but specifically the Democrats, because that's an area you know better than most. Bernie Sanders, and I meant what I said to Secretary Clinton. I know you feel the same way, Andrea. He's really a likable old nut. He really is. But one of the amazing things that hasn't come out from this, and I'm not kidding at all when I tell you this, There is a world of difference between 68. Isn't Trump 68?
67, 68? 67, I think,
yeah. And 74. And if you don't believe it, ask a 74-year-old how they felt when they were 67. Because if Bernie Sanders, okay, parallel universe, if Bernie Sanders were nominated and elected, he'd be 78 when he was running for re-election.
69.
This is an argument that the Democrats used against McCain in 2008 when he picked Sarah Palin. Now, the same thing goes to Hillary Clinton. Does she need a particularly younger VP, and would she pick a female?
It's a great question. People have asked me, speculating in that parlor game, who she would pick. I really don't know. I mean, I think part of it depends on who the Republican nominee ends up being. Part of it depends on how this primary race ends up. I do think there'll be some generational difference. Gender-wise, I think the idea of two women on the ticket, obviously historical. The conventional wisdom is you go for balance. I think we've moved away from you pick someone who can deliver their own state. Those days, I think, are kind of gone. So you really look for a ticket that is a nice package together that you're selling to the country. Who that is, I really couldn't even begin to speculate.
I can almost see Hillary picking someone if she were to be the nominee. I would think male, as you said, for a balance, but someone a little bit more conservative, not completely conservative, but someone maybe like a Paul Ryan.
A moderate Democrat, moderate Republican. Well, there'd be a story. moderate Democrat.
I think that's right. You know, but I think, look, as we've learned over time, it's a fun game to play. I don't think most people vote on who the vice president is.
But would you in this case? Because I think it cost McCain, I don't know that it cost him the election, I think it cost him a ton of votes.
Yeah, I think that had less to do with age and more with judgment. It's your first big decision as the nominee. And so people look at your temperament and your judgment. And that was such an irrational choice and obviously became worse over time that it really hurt him.
So the most important part of this discussion going forward is how does she become a better candidate against a candidate who doesn't appear to be a great candidate, yet a good chunk of Democrats in America really seem to love?
Well, look, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But that's the point.
Well, I think she does better with competition. I've said this before. I think she was at her best late in the 08 campaign because there's something about competition that brings out a more human Hillary. You saw it on this radio today. While I don't think – you know, I think Sanders could have a good day today. I don't think it really changes the fundamental math. She's going to be the nominee. She's got more than half the delegates. He's a formidable candidate as a protest candidate, but I don't really think he's, and this is not disrespectful of him or his followers, he is a protest candidate. That's an important thing in American politics. He's moved the debate. I think he's moved her to some extent, but I think he's made her a better candidate. And I think when the stakes are higher for her, she's at her best. When it's sort of a coronation and there's not real competition, then I think it comes off as more wooden, less authentic, less compelling. So I think in some ways he's made her a better candidate.
Her answer in the affirmative when I asked her about Bernie Sanders was absolutely. Is there a conversation that maybe has already gone on between the two of them?
Well, I think there's a mutual respect there. I think there's respect as gladiators when you're going through this process with anybody. But I think if you do compare the tone to the Republican side, we are debating issues and not just hurling insults. We're not saying you're un-American or a disgrace or treasonous because I disagree with you. I think they've had some heated debates, but I think it's in the best of an American tradition. And again, putting the partisanship aside, this is an important moment. I saw a clip today where someone at a Cruz rally said, go back to Canada. I mean, is that really where we've gotten?
Did they say it to Cruz?
They said it to Cruz.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
A Trump supporter in a Cruz rally saying, go back to Canada. I mean, where have we gotten in this country?
The level of infighting is crazy. And we talked about this, too, when we talked to people in Iowa and when I was in New Hampshire. People who were voting for either Bernie or Hillary said, well, I'm voting for Bernie, but if Hillary gets it, that's okay. And vice versa. You did not hear that on the Republican side. You didn't hear a Cruz supporter saying, well, I'm okay if Rubio gets it.
And I'll wear my partisan hat for a second. I don't, Trump is not an outlier. He is not. I mean, Rubio is shaking his head, but he's the guy that said, basically accused the president of being un-American and wanting to undermine this country. You know, the Democrats can disagree with each other and disagree with the Republicans. We never question their patriotism they're not Americans.
I can tell you right now, and this is one of the reasons that I've continued to tout Kasich, who, again, may be the best-looking student at the unattractive prom at this point. But did I clean that up appropriately?
It's very, very nicely said,
But Marco Rubio's a fraud. Marco Rubio is a fraud, was a fraud, and will be a fraud going forward. The only difference between Marco Rubio and Chris Christie is Marco hasn't supported Trump yet. Chris Christie has turned out to be a fraud. There are a lot of people who many people had hopes for. Remember when Rubio was on the cover of Time magazine and they called him the savior? Come on. Ted Cruz has existed in the shadows because of all the noise about Trump. Ted Cruz stood on a stage in Iowa with a pastor that is advocating killing homosexuals. Never disavowed him. Yet we went after Trump pretty hard over the David Duke thing, rightfully so. But where was the media on the Cruz thing? Too wrapped up in the Trump story. Kasich, he rises to the top as the adult in the room, but that may be an insult, not just to have everybody go, well, of course I'm going to pick that guy. If you have any belief in a legitimate competition, which is good for America, and for the fact that there is one Republican who at least has some interest in running the government. So last question before I let you fly. For people who look at Hillary Clinton or at John Kasich and say, I don't want a politician. I don't want the same thing as usual. You want a pilot who's been trained to fly the plane.
Right.
I don't like politicians who don't do their job, but I like people who know how to do what has to be done in Washington. And sorry, that means you're a politician.
Well, if unfortunately you ever have to be in a situation where you need brain surgery, sure like that guy to have or that woman to have had
Give
a little experience
librarian.
Around the brain.
Yeah, I mean, so, come on.
Yeah. You know, David McCullough, you quoted, I don't know if you did it intentionally, David McCullough, the Pulitzer Prize winning author, he's never weighed into politics before, and he made that comment about Trump. On how, you know, you don't get on an airplane without a pilot that's been in an airplane before.
Well, you know, people often say Cochran, McCullough, McCullough, Cochran. I get that. I get that. I get Clooney, Cochran. I get those alone. Rubio is 18 points down in Florida. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would take Donald Trump being arrested himself today for anything to change. So that would be the shocker of all shockers. Kasich's only 3 or 4 points up now in Ohio. That's a little too close for comfort, I think.
It's a big story today. Will be, does Trump... Is he on the glide path to the Republican nomination, or has Kasich basically stopped his momentum and really, really created a nightmare scenario? I don't think it's a nightmare scenario for the Republicans in either case, but a nightmare scenario where Trump is the clear plurality winner but cannot get to a majority. So that'll be the big story tonight. You know, the Sanders-Clinton stuff is interesting, and I think the optics of her perhaps not winning Illinois or Ohio would be bad, but it really doesn't change the fundamental math of the race, which is that she will be the nominee. She, you know, even last week when she lost Michigan, she had a plus 24 in delegates because of Mississippi. So she's going to be the nominee. The big story tonight is Trump the nominee, or does this fight go on?
Is it possible in a world, and I know this is the second time I said this is your last question, is it possible? I do that a lot, don't I?
No.
Yeah, it's part of my charm. Is it possible that you will see going forward in a world where the people that have all the toys decide how the toys are played with, change the rules on the Republican side to do the superdelegate thing going forward to be able to block a situation like Trump recurring?
In future elections,
yeah.
I think so. I mean, they're reaping what they sowed. They created a winner-take-all process that has basically allowed for the rise of a Trump, and now they may have to pay the price for it. But I think there's no question you will see these rules change in the future, because the Republican Party is going to be fundamentally changed forever.
Yeah, and rightfully so at this point. I mean, come on. I don't care how diehard you may be. You cannot look at the cluster that this has become. Man, it's like the fifth time I've came close to cursing on the show today. The cluster that this has become, and not say we need some serious surgery to fix that. So, and Pat Brady, of course, has said that over and over again.
I think we're both in agreement on that. So,
nice to see you. And I really appreciate your time. I know it's a busy day for you as well. So we'll kick this around later in the week.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Thanks for coming in. Eric Edelstein. Back with a young man named Kevin Powell, sunning himself in Arizona and claiming it's work. After this on 720 WGN. The great Orion Samuelson joins us before we get to Kevin live from Washington. Is today actually National Ag Day?
Today is National Agriculture Day. I'm talking to you from the historic National Press Club in Washington. And the town is full of agricultural people, 4-H kids, FFA kids, AFA kids, outstanding young farmers, along with a lot of commodity groups. We held a breakfast at the press club this morning, a luncheon at noon on Capitol Hill in the Dirksen Building, which is fitting. And then tonight, the Salute to Agriculture banquet at headquarters of USDA. So it'll be a full day.
How many of these have you emceed?
I think this is the 11th year now that I have done this. I'll do the luncheon at noon on the Hill, and then I'll do the banquet tonight. And featured speakers, somebody that many of our farm and business friends know, J.B. Penn, who served in the George Bush Department of Agriculture and is now with John Deere representing them in Washington.
And is it possible that maybe this will lead to you hosting the Oscars next year?
I haven't been asked yet, but I'd be willing to. I've got a tux. We'll travel.
I like his chances.
I like his chances. Come on, are you telling me you wouldn't watch the Oscars if Orion Samuelson was hosting? Please. I know you love nothing better than talking to a bunch of young people who are either taking over the family farm or starting their own. But one of the things you brought up early this morning, and you know we don't have a lot of time today, but give me the short sermon on this. And the short sermon is that we live in a world that is losing farming space every day, losing quality land to farm. The population's exploding, less land to farm, less people to do it. Of course we need genetically modified products.
And absolutely.
I mean, it's true, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Without it, we condemn millions of people on the planet to starve. Now, we're lucky enough to have, as Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack said, the United States is the only country on the planet that doesn't have to depend on any other country for its food supply.
The thing that I wish people would take the time to understand before believing every headline that they read is
or blog,
is that if it says GMO, there's some insidious backstory to it that's going to harm you. The people that produce GMO foods are people that have liability for their own safety in relation to the production of those foods. So why in God's name would they try to put something out that's going to hurt you?
They wouldn't, and we've done at least 150 scientific studies around the world and have found no threat. I have yet to see a death certificate that says cause of death, consuming GMO foods. And so that's an important topic of conversation here besides the election.
Well, I thought it was important you brought it up this morning, and I wanted to make sure you had a chance to comment on it. And, you know, we're going to try to do this at least once a week with O, because we miss him on the show.
We miss you.
Well, I would like to do it. So, I do have to tell you that in Washington, people who are more excited about the election than probably the candidates are realtors. They are really looking forward to November. There'll be a mass exodus and a mass inflow of people with the change of administration. I've talked to a couple of realtors, and they said this is our Christmas year. So
I hadn't even thought about that. Of course, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Oh, tremendous. And it's amazing to me to see the building cranes, and most of them are building deluxe apartments and condominiums here in our nation's capital.
How about that?
And, yeah, come November, a lot of people are going to be leaving this town. A lot of other people will come in, and so they're excited about it. And I guess at our National Ag Day session, we're most excited about John Kasich, the candidate, because he does understand agriculture and the business of agriculture.
Yeah, I think he's the clear pick. Thank you, my friend. Good luck. Don't be nervous today.
I won't be. You have a good day, and I'm glad you survived your party, because I know how wild you are at parties. So.
Crazy. You know, I didn't get to bed till 9:15 last night. I was out of control.
I was worried about you, but I'm glad you're alive and well this morning.
Now, the toughest thing, you know, they say in show business, don't follow Animal Acts or Kids or Orion Samuelson.
Orion.
Yep, that's the problem for Kevin. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Try to follow Orion. I mean, is
I know.
That,
thanks.
I mean, come on.
Thanks a lot, guys.
I apologize. Kevin is live in Arizona, and you hear him all day long while he's out there covering spring training. You going to a Sox game today?
I am. I'll be at Camelback Ranch. Yesterday was out in Mesa at Sloan Park. Jake Arrieta started for the Cubs, and this sort of sums up spring training, at least for some players, especially the reigning NL Cy Young winner. Jake Arrieta admitting that he sort of intentionally walked a batter just because he wanted to work from the stretch off the mound. So those are the sorts of things you get in spring training. But he looked great. And, yeah, today we'll be out at Camelback Ranch as Jose Quintana gets the start for the White Sox, second start of the spring.
Now, this is, of course, when you see people talking about politics and they have to admit they have a particular bias. You are a Sox fan.
Yep, yep. Yeah, I was raised properly, so I am a White Sox fan. But I'll put my bias aside.
To be a baseball journalist. Coverage.
Yes, exactly.
Now, one of the things, Dave, that you know, Dave, you know, I'm not a groupie, I'm a big fan of legendary broadcasters.
Right.
You know who Kevin was hanging out with yesterday?
Peter
Gammons.
Really?
Yeah, Peter Gammons, one of the great baseball minds of all time.
When you say hanging out,
they were playing guitar together. You know, Gammons has his.
Well, I know he's got He always comes in here and plays at Theo's big Cubs bash.
It got weird for Kevin because he was trying to talk to Jake Arrieta, and Peter was going, "Can you introduce me? Can you?"
Well, Peter Gammons, we were chatting a bit in the media room, and the guy just loves baseball. I mean, there's no real small talk. It's just him going on and on about everything in the throughout the league. So, but couldn't have been nicer. Nice guy.
Actually, Kevin called me and went, there was some old guy that wouldn't stop talking. He described him. I said, Peter Gammons? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's him. How about Joe Madden? You get to him yesterday?
Yep. And, you know, great talking to him. That was the first person I talked to, and he's always a fun conversation. So he had some things to say about Jake Arrieta, talking about Jake's off-season workouts and Pilates and how impressed he is. And, you know, really he – It's hard to say a player looks ready after one start, but after yesterday, I don't think Jake Arrieta needs much more time off the mound. He looks to be pretty much in full command.
Well, he's going to pitch a minor league game later this week, isn't he?
Yeah, and he was supposed to make another Cactus League start Friday, but they scrapped that. That'll be a minor league start. It's more of a controlled environment, but he... And Joe Madden said that yesterday when we talked to him. He really doesn't mind preserving his starters and letting them skip starts here and there this early in the year because, of course, they are planning on making a deep postseason run. And we saw last postseason how much Arrieta faded down the stretch after a large workload last season.
Well, I don't know if he really faded.
Modern big leaguers are soft.
I think you guys should all do Pilates.
I'm doing it right now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Arrieta yesterday even admitted to fatigue at the end of the
season. Well, he was fatigued, but, I mean, the guy was basically unhittable for the second half of the season. Man, and he'd never thrown over 200 innings before, and he threw, like, 250 innings.
Well, I think that's the point Kevin was making. He was tired.
Oh, I'm not disputing Kevin.
Oh, yeah, you're disputing him. Oh, yeah, you're questioning my man Kevin live in Arizona.
Poor Kevin. By the way, I think Kevin should get to the real news that he told me yesterday. Matt Mertin doing sprints in the outfield. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They haven't cut him yet.
Stop it.
I saw a redhead doing some sprints across the field. I said,
"Hey, that's Opie."
Yeah.
Matt
he looked okay
Mertin.
Though. He's recovering from the appendectomy.
All right. My goal for you before the week is out is that you're bothered by attractive Arizona State co-eds and that you get a tour of Joe Madden's van. Those two things are not related. Enjoy your day with the Sox. We'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Bye, Kev.
And Kevin. Doing a nice job out
there. He's doing a great job.
Man, David's vicious to him.
He was so mean. I thought it was so nice of Kevin.
How dare you question me? Did you hear
the Cubs and then appease me with Matt Mertin? Hey, he's doing a great job, Dave.
Did you hear the part where Dave went, "What the hell do you know about Arrieta, you punk?"
Wait, okay, you're the one who was telling me yesterday that he's showing his Sox bias, right?
Well, and then his microphone started to fade.
But then once he called me about Matt Mertin, I changed
my mind. So weird that I can't hear them as well as I could a moment ago.
Now, back to more Steve Cochran.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey, well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need.
Before I say hi to Mr. Hochberg, the CSO at Wheaton College's Edmund Memorial Chapel on March 23rd. You can get tickets at cso.org. We're going to give a pair of tickets away to that. And to Harry Connick Jr. on May 18th at the Chicago Theater, presented by Jam Productions. Get tickets starting Friday at 10 a.m. at Chicago Theater's box office, Ticketmaster.com, or 800-745-3000. We'll do it on Twitter. Is that the plan? All right, so Ross will put something up on Twitter now, at Cochran Show, and we'll go from there. Good morning, Mr. Hochberg.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fantastic.
What are the rates today? Are we good?
Rates
are
great. Rates are always great. They're still in the high threes, low fours for a 30-year fixed loan. ARMs are still in the threes. A lot of people thinking about moving in the next 3 to 5 years for whatever reason are considering looking or should be considering. It should be looking at getting into an adjustable rate mortgage because it's a great product if you're not going to be in your home for a long period of time. Like I said before, my sister-in-law got divorced, and she has a child in high school who's a sophomore, be a junior next year. And she knows that there's no way she's going to be living in a 3,500 square foot home with $13,000 of real estate taxes as soon as my nephew walks down the aisle to get his diploma in June of next year or the year after, whenever the heck it is.
So an ARM good for a 5 or a 10 year window?
3, 5, 7, or 10. Yeah, depending upon you get the ARM that fits your foot that best suits your financial needs.
And you're the guy to talk to about making sure you're getting into the right ARM and not one that balloons to say 12,000%.
Yeah, that would be a problem for some people. But a lot of these adjustable rate mortgages have caps for the first adjustment and over the lifetime of the loan. Again, if you know that you're going to be moving within the next 5 to 7 years because you don't need that big house after your kids graduate high school, it is a great product to get into to not only save money but to maybe take some money out to pay off some debt, to enhance your credit scores, to get into a better position when you do move with a higher credit score.
David Hochberg is here, Pearl Mortgage. What do they do to call you or get a hold of you?
You could give me a call, 312. All you have to do is pick up some type of calling device, 312-751-1333. You could go to WGNDavid.com and goes right to my webpage on the Pearl Mortgage website. And send me an email from there. It's very easy to reach.
Why is it so important to get pre-approved?
It's important to get pre-approved with the right team. So, number one, you know what you're able to afford.
So it's going to save time.
It's going to save time. It's going to educate you on where you're at because a lot of people have got, I use the Thanksgiving analogy. You know, they get the plate and stuff it with food, and they think that their plate, they get all the food in their stomach, and they realize that, you know what, yeah, it looks good on the plate, but it's really not going to be able to digest all that food. And a lot of people look at houses that they don't realize that taxes are going up in the state, especially in the city, and they don't realize that that $300,000 home, it comes with maybe a $10,000 a year real estate tax bill.
You got to pay that?
If you want to live in the house and not have somebody buy your taxes and kick you out, yeah.
Right.
You know, it's $800 a month right there, $833 a month. Homeowners insurance is $100, $150. So before you even pay your mortgage, you're close to $1,000 a month. A lot of people don't realize that. And working with the proper team is important, too.
What's the incentive for a company, a nationally established, reputable, mm-hmm. successful company like Pearl, to be in the reverse mortgage business?
Helping out seniors. I've got one closing Friday. I just emailed one of my partners to make sure that the couple that we're refinancing right now, they live in Lake Forest. You would think who in Lake Forest would want a reverse mortgage? Well, you
might want the cash.
Well, here. They live in a $700,000 home.
Fully paid for.
Almost. They have a $30,000 mortgage out on it. You know, he's in his 80s. She's in his 70s. Great credit. Ton of income. They owe $30,000 on their home. They got a couple of car loans that they're going to pay off. So they qualified for a $300,000 reverse mortgage. We're closing Friday. We're going to pull out $100,000, pay for all of their closing costs. There's a couple lenders out there that wanted to charge them over $5,000-$6,000 in costs. So we told them, you take out at least $100,000, we'll pay for all your closing costs. And what's the benefit for them? It puts money into experienced borrowers. I don't like to call that age group senior citizens. I like to call them experienced borrowers. It puts the money in their pocket to do what they want with. It's tax-free, and they can do whatever the heck they want with it.
How do you get paid for that? Is it a fee?
The lender pays us a fee for putting the borrowers into that loan.
So it's like a mortgage model. Same
it's like a model, but there are a lot of lenders out there that like to jam borrowers with $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 in closing costs.
Yeah, double, triple dipping.
It's disgusting. Yeah. And if you take out $100,000, we could cover your closing costs.
Here's a story I got from David. Let me share this with you, Andrea. You know how you like when I talk to you. And here, get up on my lap while I tell you this story.
Yeah, tell me a story.
Sarah wrote David, said, I'm unhappy with my current mortgage lender. I don't want to say which one, but it rhymes with Chase. I hope you might be able to help me refinance my home and get into a better mortgage situation. I have both a first and a HELOC, home equity loan. Mm-hmm. I refinanced the first under HARP in 2012. So far she's doing good stuff with her situation.
Great. So far she's great.
But I was told I couldn't roll the HELOC into the first in this program. A few months ago, Chase decided to double the HELOC payment. And when I found this change impossible to afford at their suggestion, I applied for a modification. It was denied.
Yeah.
So pick it up from there.
Yeah. Basically, she owes 133 G's on the first, 40,000 on the second. And her homes, according to Zillow, which is it's an online site that gives an estimation of value. And there's another site out there called Trulia, which is just equally as worthless as Zillow. I recommend people, if you really want to know what the value of your home is, contact a real estate professional, you know, otherwise known as a realtor, mm-hmm. in your area to get value. Her problem is that, just rounded up, she owes about $175,000, 173 G's, and the home's worth 150. I had a similar caller.
So that would be underwater.
Underwater. Yeah, she's about 20 some G's underwater. So, but that's according to Zillow. Okay, I wouldn't bet my life on Zillow. I would call a realtor in your area to ask for what they think the value is, preferably the realtor that helped you purchase the home, who would have a really good idea of what your home inside was like, and to give you an idea. And then, you know, this falls into the category, it's all hands on deck. Okay, it's, you're pulling money from places that you wouldn't even think of pulling money from, such as life insurance cash policies.
Right.
Okay. 401k loans, don't disperse. You know, you've got to look at getting that loan amount down in relation to your current loan to value, so you could combine these two loans together and get out of that ridiculous second loan. And I get these calls every day. This email came in last night while I was getting, you know, falling asleep at the hockey game last night. I would much rather have been at your surprise birthday party that I didn't get an invitation for, but I had to sit through a 5
hockey game. We were up till 9:15.
That's great. I would much rather have been at your 9:15 party. But, you know, these people are, you know, this lady, this family is stuck. And she's got to bring in money from someplace to get the loan amount down. We could put her into an FHA loan up to 97.5% of her current value of her house. So if she's got a 401k, if she's got a life insurance policy with cash value, she could get a gift from a family member just to combine these loans. The home equity line of credits on these, on your listeners.
Enough is enough.
Okay, thank you, Bernie.
Okay. I don't know if Bernie's commenting on you.
I don't know either.
Suddenly Bernie's telling you enough's enough.
Is that a sign? But, you know, people have to bring these loans down into the current loan to value so we could get them into another loan to get them out of these home equity line of credit products that were great for the past 10 years, interest only, but now they're just coming up and sneaking up on people. I had a call a couple of weeks ago. The payment went up 4 times the amount he was paying. It went from $500 a month to $2,000. Good morning. How'd you like that?
So you are not a magician?
I am a magician with, if you give me the tools to be a magician, I could be a magician.
Actually, but, that's true. I have seen you work with friends of mine.
Yes.
And you have literally performed magic.
I think he's a magician.
Yes. it's David Hochberg, Pearl Mortgage. And there's a million stories in the Naked City and why emails, you shouldn't end up being naked. Emails are appreciated, right?
Emails are the best way to reach me. David@pearldavid.com. Or I tell you what, just go to WGNDavid.com because everybody screws up the spelling of Pearl. Just go to WGNDavid.com. I made it as simple as possible. There's an email button right there. You could email me however long of an email you want. You tell me your life story, and we'll come up with some type of solution. It might not be the answer you want, but you're going to get a response. You're going to either get a call back or an email back, and we're going to talk to you like a human being. You're going to get on the money advice on what to do to better your position. And some people we could help immediately, and some people take 6 months to a year. You know, your good friend John, we just got the approval of his loan last night, and we're hopefully closing next week. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Now, I'm going to need you at least on the phone, if not in person, later this week. We're going to do something here, but we're not going to have time to do it.
Okay.
So you need to come back either on the phone or live later this week for that event.
I understand.
Okay. Here, I got that.
I can handle that.
You know, you know how good Hochberg is.
Yeah, I know.
I set Hochberg up with my sister.
Oh,
yeah, and
so they're
he did a wonderful.
Oh,
well, no, that'd be weird for both of them.
Yeah,
and they did a wonderful thing for her, but my sister had the person that wasn't legit working on the other side.
Wasn't working out.
But it had nothing to do with Hochberg. So, you know, we highly recommend David Hochberg. Again, the 312-751-1333. There you go.
And WGNDavid.com.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Back with Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN in a couple of minutes.
Hello.
Our political discussion continues off the air.
Please vote today. Please, please. I'm asking you, please. I'm asking you,
all you can do is ask. Steve, can I commend Andrea Darlis on something?
Sure.
Hillary Clinton, as you know, may be the next president of the United States, and she referred to our friend Andrea Darlis as Andrea Darlis.
I know.
And you didn't say anything like, hey, my name is not Andrea, it's Andrea.
I was okay with that, though. She was running late.
But you get that every day.
People do that all the time,
too. Yeah,
people
say different, you know.
And not for potential presidents.
I mean, I've been friends with Anna DeVlantis for 20 years.
Amen.
Well, 15 years, whatever.
And you called her Anna.
I called her Anna until she finally, and this, I swear to you, 15 years I've been friends, really good friends. I mean, she's all hands, let's be honest.
or so he thinks.
But really good friends with her. And it's 2 years ago, whenever she was doing the morning show for 10 minutes before she split for Roe.
Yeah.
That somehow it came up that, no, it's not Anna, it's Anna. Anna.
Me too.
I didn't even know.
Anna forever.
Yeah. Anna. But it's Anna Balaval.
Yeah.
Anna. No, I call her Anna. It's Anna Balaval.
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, listen, it's just
how
easier
do you
to,
say it,
just,
Bill?
No, next time the secretary comes in, I'm going to sit her down and I'm going to say, look.
This is my name.
It's easier to be Steve or Bill.
You guys do have it easy.
Stevie.
Yeah. What are you doing today? What Election Day stuff I'm thinking?
There will be a lot of Election Day stuff.
Yeah. I was going to vote on the way in, and then I found out some new information that I want to share with everybody, and I'm going to vote out later then on the way home. Polls are open till 7.
Well, you should hit it perfectly because you're going to be right before the dinner rush.
And then she's going to vote.
Whee! Good one, Andrea.
Andrea, Anna, whatever your name is. See you tomorrow.